Jet Nation Radio. And here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information, using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Well, the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to Jet Nation Radio, and I cannot apologize anymore. We just have so much technical difficulty to start this show. It's just one of the perks of being an online radio show is dealing with inclement weather outside, and right now the thunderstorms are not helping the communication of our radio show host here on Jet Nation Radio. Nonetheless, I apologize for the sound quality as our normal way of communicating with you guys through the waves of the internet have gone down. But we are here, and we are here to talk tonight. And actually, the notice is that we have, there's a major site-wide outage on Blog Talk. Everything's on backups, so they're running into issues now. So if at any point during the show we do go out, I do apologize. But nonetheless, it's time to start talking some Jet football. We have lots to talk about. including the cornerback situation, which I cannot wait to get into. And before we do that, Joe, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good. I was on these technical difficulties we're having, but today's been a good day.
It's crazy. It's nuts. So I'm on my cell phone here as my everything else has decided to crash thanks to the nice thunderstorms we're getting outside. But, Joe, we have already started the show here, and the call lines are lit up. We're here to talk about tonight, really. The big topic of discussion is the cornerback situation. I've talked about it. Everybody told me to wait. Everybody told me, you know, see what we have. We got good stuff coming. We got this. And then here come the injuries. Here comes the injuries to McDougal's now out for the year. What a shame that is. An absolute shame to see him go down in his rookie year like that after battling back to get back from an injury. Then you have Dee Miller to go out. And, Joe, I told you this was going to be a problem. I told you when we were sitting there. You can moan and groan all you want. It's a problem. And the reason why it's a problem is because the Jets have no depth at the cornerback position. I said it from the beginning. The free agents were out there. Vontae Davis. Antonio Cromartie was leaving. How much would you love to have Antonio Cromartie back right now? Vontae Miller, Vontae Davis, all those guys. They're all out there. The Jets signed nobody. The Jets had nobody. Now we sit here. Milliner's not going to make week one. And McDougal's out for the year. You're looking at a starting cornerback tandem of Dimitri Patterson and Kyle Wilson to start your season. If that's not a disaster, I don't know what is. But let's start it off. Glenn, who is a new writer for JetNation.com, is going to join us. Glenn, what's going on, my man?
What's going on? I think we all know what's going on. A little bit of madness here.
Oh, it's mad. Are you talking about the technical difficulties, or are you talking about the Jets cornerback situation, Glenn?
Well, both. I don't know which one is worse at the moment, but I think it's probably more interesting to talk about the corners than the technical difficulties.
Oh, absolutely.
But, so the main reason I'm calling it, obviously, because of the corner situation. Been on the forums, been on the board all week, and seeing the reaction to the injuries, and I understand people are concerned and people are frustrated, but what's gotten to the point that's driving me nuts is that we're seeing a lot of people make a lot of critical comments about the way Idzik approached the free agent corners that were available. So I kind of took the time to look up some info on a lot of the guys that everybody feels like he should have signed, he should have been more aggressive. You know, we have people saying, Why did he draft McDougal? McDougal has an injury history. He missed a bunch of games with a bad shoulder. Why didn't he get, you know, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie? He had him in the building, or, you know, the Jets were one of the prime teams, and they had all the salary cap, all this room under the salary cap. Why didn't he go out and sign Vernier from Tennessee and all these guys that everybody wanted? So I just find it hypocritical that everyone says he drafted – people act as if he should have known – that because McDougal had a shoulder injury, he should have somehow known that he was going to blow out his ACL.
Glenn.
That he should have.
I don't mean to cut you off, but
go ahead.
That's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. You have to know these things. You have, when you're going into an off season with a cornerback situation that you already know is a disaster. Okay, you're banking on a second year cornerback in Dee Miller, who's coming in this year. Okay, who had a great end of the season last year, but a very, very up and down first year. You sign an injury-prone Patterson who's everybody thought it was in doubt that he was going to complete a full season, and nonetheless, he looked terrible in the first preseason game. But again, we're not going to judge off of that. It's the first preseason game. Everybody is getting, you know, they're getting their jitters out and starting fresh again. It's a new year. When you're the general manager of this team, we have not seen a cornerback free agency, a cornerback tandems out there like we did in free agency. We're not talking about passing on one or two guys. We're talking about passing on six or seven guys that could have added low-key guys with very, very low risk in signing them. That's why everybody makes fun of me that I talked about Brandon Flowers for 2 weeks. Guess what? How much would you love to have Brandon Flowers right now on your team? We're sitting here talking about Antonio Allen going to play cornerback for the Jets. It's a mess. Why? Because you had injury-prone question marks who have already were seeing it in 1 week. As the general manager of this team, listen, I think the Jets have done a lot of good things with Idzik over the past year since he's been here. I think there are so many positives to talk about with the Jets. Talk about their D-line. Talk about their running game. They've added more wide receivers. Their offensive line is getting better. The positives are there. John Idzik deserves criticism for the way that he handled this quarterback situation. When you bring in question marks, when you bring in injury-prone guys, you better have depth behind them. He didn't do that. Now he's stuck with a mess. Now what are you going to do? You're going to go
right.
out and you're
so,
going to create
so
a second or third-round pick?
You tell me what defines injury-prone, because, of course, as we know, the number one name that people are yelling and screaming and whining and crying about is Darrell Revis. Why didn't we get Darrell Revis? Because this guy, because McDougal hurt his shoulder and now has an injured ACL, we should have signed Revis, who 2 years ago tore his ACL. So we should get a guy with a bum ACL because a guy with a bad shoulder hurt his ACL. Despite the fact, I looked it up today, and I have the privilege of working in a medical facility. Talked to some of the docs I work with. I said, "Look, if someone's got an ACL injury, how likely are they to injure it again?" They said, "You know, it's magnified multiple times." So I looked a little deeper into it. 15 times more likely to suffer an ACL injury. So we have people saying Idzik was wrong to draft a guy with a shoulder injury because he then hurt his ACL. Instead of that, he should have signed a guy who ruptured his ACL because that would have been
a far more logical
reason.
I'm not talking about Darrell Revis, though, Glenn. I'm not talking about Darrell Revis. I'm talking about all the guys that were sitting out there that the Jets passed on. I can pull up a free agent list of the cornerbacks this year. Darrell Revis was a no-brainer. Okay, forget Darrell Revis. Anybody out there who thought Darrell Revis was coming back to the Jets after the way he left here, that's a ridiculous statement. Personally, I think the Jets should have looked more into bringing back Revis since the article came out that he called the Jets and expressed interest of going back there. But that's
right. He expressed interest if they paid the most, he would have gone back to them.
If they didn't want to bring him back, that's fine. But you're talking about Flowers, Rodgers, Cromartie, Miller, Davis. These are guys that the Jets should have looked at and brought in for this exact reason. What defines injury prone is a cornerback coming out of Maryland who was everybody was the reason why he was dropping into the third round was because of his injuries. And then what happens? Right off the bat he gets hurt. Now again, you can't plan for injuries. It's the National Football League. I get it. I'm not going to criticize John Idzik about bringing guys in who are injury prone that he thinks can help this team. My one criticism for him that I have had this entire time is you need to have depth with question marks. When the Jets brought in new linebackers, when they were bringing in DeMario Davis, when they were bringing in young guys up front, they had solidified veterans. You had Sean Ellis on this team. You had Bart Scott at the linebacker position. You had David Harris. You're throwing guys into the fire at the cornerback position with no depth whatsoever. And what did they do to fix that? Nothing. And now John Idzik has to go and hit the panic button because that's exactly what he's doing because he was banking on McDougal, who looked good in the first preseason game, who was already being moved up to the second spot. You were banking on that guy to be your number two guy. Now you're hitting the panic button, and now you're going to go give up a second or third round pick for probably a big-time cornerback, and you're going to bring somebody in here. And everybody's going to be excited, and everybody's going to say, wow, you know, now our cornerback situation is getting better. But at the end of the day, and the reality of it is, John Idzik could have added depth and could have added solid cornerbacks to this tandem. He chose not to. He chose to bank off the guys that he brought in, and so far it's failed miserably.
Now, I don't disagree that he could have done a better job with depth. I've honestly, even a couple of weeks ago, talking Jets football with some of my buddies, I was totally on board with not bringing back Cromartie. Now, pre-injury, before Milner and McDougal got hurt the other day, I talked to them last week, and I said, you know what, I'm looking at the roster, I don't feel great about it. I was wrong about Cromartie. For the price he was asking, the experience he had, I get that he was an injury risk, but with the amount of cap room they had, they could have afforded to bring him back on a low-risk, high-reward deal. So that was an oversight. My issue right now is that a lot of the guys, a lot of the names I'm hearing, you know, like Rodgers, Cromartie, let me throw a hypothetical. hypothetical at you, because this,
sure.
this I saw something today that made me flash back to the days of Dwayne Robertson. Okay, a defensive tackle. You'll get the tie-in here in a second. If you remember,
uh-huh.
after a couple years in the league of Robertson, not when he didn't blow up the league like we all thought he would, or many of us thought he would, you recall that it came out that the Jets and other teams, but everybody knew that Robertson had a degenerative hip condition, and people lost their minds. How did we draft this guy knowing he had a hip condition? This is going to affect him long-term. He won't be here as long as we thought, even if he is effective, and people just went nuts. So, again, and looking at Cromartie today, because, I want to be objective, I want to be fair, so I'm looking at, okay, why didn't the Jets do this? Now, my theory on the Rodgers Cromartie thing is they didn't sign him because he has a rep for being a guy that doesn't care all that much. That's why the Jets tried to sign him, but they were only willing to give one or 2 years. They said, look, we're not going to give a 3-, 4-, 5-year deal to a guy who shows up when he feels like it. Find out Rodgers Cromartie, on top of having a poor attitude and not really being a guy that plays hard all the time, he plays with one kidney. Okay, the guy's got one kidney, and I go online, 40% of doctors recommend do not play professional football if you have one kidney. Could you imagine if he suffered an injury? The Jet Nation would be saying that the medical staff was incompetent, that John Idzik should be fired immediately. How do you give tens of millions of dollars to a guy who has a condition that nearly 40% of medical experts recommend you do not play football? So the performance aside.
But again, Glenn, we're sitting here today. Again, it all comes back to the point. The reason why the reason why the Jets didn't give Dominique Rodgers Cromartie a 3- or 4-year contract isn't because he had one kidney. The reason why the Jets didn't do that, and the reason why the Jets didn't sign Darrell Reeves, the reason why the Jets didn't bring these guys in, is because they felt comfortable drafting McDougal, adding in a guy like Patterson, and going with Dee Milliner. They felt comfortable with the guys they had. They felt that this group was good enough for them to go out and have a solid, good defense and win football games. And guess what? They were wrong. Their cornerback that they drafted is now out for the year. Dee Milliner is now out for the first game. So this is on the general manager. He's not going to be perfect, okay? And I think he's done a good job. I think that the fact that his job is in question from some people I saw, that's ridiculous. The guy's been here for 1 year. He's going to be here for another solid 3 or 4 years. You know, he's a general manager in the NFL. But you have to look at it from the point of view. They were comfortable with the guys they brought in. They left big-name guys on the table that could have helped this team in any way, shape, or form. Now you're sitting here talking about bringing a safety and moving him to cornerback. You're trying to scrape pieces together. And what's going to happen is they're going to have to give up a solid draft pick to bring in a cornerback, when what they could have done was get low-risk contracts with veteran corners that could piece this together and could help this team. They didn't do that. That's my problem. And, Glenn, before we let you go, I want to let everybody out there know, definitely check out Glenn on JetNation.com. Doing a fantastic job writing articles for the site. If you haven't checked his stuff out, just on JetNation.com. And he's rocking the forums as well as Air Force Glenn. Glenn, you're all over the place, my man.
Brandon, can I make one more quick point?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, just, talking about being comfortable with the corners they have. The way I look at it, and I agree, you can't blame Idzik for the fact his guys are getting hurt. But if you could tell me how Bill Belichick in New England has essentially brought on board as his two starting corners is Revis, who we mentioned with the ACL, and on the other side you've got Brandon Browner, who has been suspended multiple times for PEDs use, for marijuana use, was looking at a 1-year suspension that the league kind of backed off because there was a little question about the legality of it. But this guy is one joint or one PEDs use from a 1-year suspension, and he missed eight games a couple years ago with an injury. So he brought in a trifecta. He brought in a guy who's got an injury history, a PEDs history, and a recreational drug history, but nobody's talking about that. And he's got him opposite Revis, who's 1 year removed from an ACL injury. So it can just as easily –
It comes down to the big names, Glenn. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to the big names. It's what it is. When you have big name, top of the line guys out there, people look past it. When you combine injury prone with question mark guys, people don't look past it. That's my opinion on that. You're looking at proven guys who have done it in the league that everybody says, wow, these guys can really play football. You're looking at guys that the Jets brought in that says, wow, we think these guys might be able to play some great football. That's the difference.
Right, and I understand that, but I just think it's hypocritical to say that we think it's okay for them to take these risks because we know the names, but these guys shouldn't take the risks.
Well,
we don't know the names.
But that's the way it works.
The risk is the
risk. That's the way it works. You take risks on proven guys. You don't take risks on unproven guys like this. You don't do it. That's the way it works. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather take a risk and sign Darrell Revis, who tore his ACL 2 years ago, or would you rather take a risk for the sake of just throwing it out there for hypotheticals? Would you rather take a risk and bring in Darrell Revis, or would you rather take a risk and bring in Dexter McDougal?
Oh, I mean, if all things were equal, I bring in Revis, absolutely. But we know all things weren't equal.
Of course, it's a no-brainer.
You know the baggage
where,
and the drama that comes with Revis.
From.
Right, but you know the
that's
baggage and the drama that comes to Revis. You can't just discount that. You can't say, let's pretend Darrell Revis isn't the enormous
knee-first
guy.
So, question mark. Brandon Browner with his question marks or Dexter McDougal with his uncertainty coming in. Well, which one would you choose? I mean, those are no points. They're no points.
If you're talking about a guy with
– guys.
Right, but if you're talking about a guy with an injury history and a drug history and a PED history, I'm not taking that guy. I don't want him on my roster.
I mean, I'm sure that the Jets would very much like to have him on their roster right now. Glenn, I appreciate
right now they would, but of course they didn't know this was going to happen.
Keep rocking in the forums, okay?
All right, thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
All right, take care. All right, we got it. We got people who want to talk corner tonight. Joe, you still awake over there?
Yes, I'm falling asleep a little bit. I was letting you take over because I'm almost – this is my third show, and I'm already done talking corners. So, but
everybody wants
put my
to
input in real quick. The thing
we're,
about
we're going to
Google
Josh,
and
Joe.
Revis is,
Joe, we're going to Josh. You want to talk corners. Josh, go
ahead. Hey, don't worry. I'm not going to talk too much about corners. I'm just going to –
there you go, Josh.
Something else that I want to talk about, but I want to – yeah, last conversation kind of touched me a little bit. Something that I wanted to tell you last week kind of got switched around because of the cornerback injuries, but – the way I see it right now, what isn't it, his move, our general manager, was pretty much, let's get the guys that want to be team players. Let's get the guy that won the championship. The reason why he passed, think about it, look at the people that he passed on. Like, honestly, isn't it passed on a lot of people? Okay, look at the huge question mark with DeSean Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Look at Look at the huge question mark about Revis. His biggest question mark is okay. He won a lot of money. This is the first time we have a lot of money. We don't want no part of Revis. But then
I think
it was both of y'all arguing about Flowers. Both of y'all was right. The reason why I say that, because if both of our top cornerbacks didn't get injured, I believe they would have been a dominant pair. Something told me in my heart they would have been dominant. But because if they didn't, what happened, we would have brought in Flowers.
Yeah, see, the difference between bringing in McDougal and bringing in Revis is about, you know, $15 million. So that's the big difference that I noticed. I think that we tried to address it in free agency. I think that we were going hard after Vontae Davis, but he from reports, he turned his back on us and signed with the Colts. I think that Isaac is planning for long-term success, and I'm honestly sick already of hearing Jets fans say, "Oh, Revis," you know, the guy was using us as bait. He was saying, "Oh yeah, the Jets don't want to go back there," even though he didn't want to. The only reason he was saying that was to get the Patriots price higher. That's the only reason he was saying that. He never wanted to come back. He didn't want to come into an environment that wouldn't pay him. We didn't want him back. Woody Johnson didn't want to have him hold out again. I didn't want any part of that. I didn't want that guy back. There's no point. I think that we will address it. I'm happy it's preseason. It's not the middle of the regular season. I don't think we all have to panic. Well, maybe a little bit, but not too much. You know, we're going to try out Allen there. We'll see how that works out. We're going to see what guys like Darren Walls, what Ellis Langster. We're going to see what those guys can do. And I think if they don't step up, I think that we will address it. You know, like Brandon said before, we'll trade a high round draft pick to get somebody. You know, maybe like a Jonathan Joseph or somebody later in the off season. But I think honestly, John Isaac is going to wait until those late August cuts, and I think that he's going to see if a young talented cornerback is cut because the roster is too full. So that's what I think about that.
Yeah. Well. Last tip on that. I actually believe that Allen, hope and pray Pryor is the person we all think he will be. Because Allen, the way I see it, I've been looking at his highlights, Antonio Allen, and if Pryor, our safety, actually played this comeback from this concussion, actually playing to like full ability, what we expect, then we might got a second corner.
Exactly, Josh. And I think that in the first couple games, if Dee Milner is out, you know, I don't think the Raiders are going to be a huge problem. They have Matt Schaub, who couldn't even throw to Andre Johnson, so I'm really not that worried about that. I think that if Dee Milner is out the first couple games, if I'm hearing that he will be out for the first one or two games, maybe even three games, depending on when he gets the MRI, you know, because he can't have the MRI now because his ankle's too swollen. But I think in those weeks that he will be out, I think that we're going to do a lot of three safety sets, you know, with Langer, with Allen, and Pryor. I think we're going to adjust. I'm happy that we have Rex Ryan to fall back on. You know, if we had Eric Mangini as our coach, I'd be a little bit more worried. Our coach is a defensive mastermind. I think we'll get past it. You know, obviously it hurts, but I think we'll get past it. But Josh, thank you for the call, and you should call back.
Real quick.
Go ahead, Josh.
Real quick, I wanted to touch on this. Wide receivers. Eric Decker. Dan, I say he's going to be a great role model. Look at how Hill's been doing, even him. Everybody's
picking
up the game.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely be something good there, Josh. I agree with you. You know, Eric Decker, I think, definitely stepped up. In the first preseason game, you saw some good looks. You saw a play that was taken away that he made a big play on him that was a false start. So, I mean, yeah, I think you're right on there. I think that's definitely a good point. And, Josh, I appreciate the call, my man.
Okay. Have a nice day. Go
All
Jets.
Right, thanks, Josh.
Have a good one,
All
Josh.
Right, we're going to go to Keith. Keith wants to talk about cornerbacks. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, good afternoon, Vietnam. This ain't a test. We're talking Jets football. That's my little tribute to Robin Williams. This weekend's been really crazy. Really just talking about Jets football in general, like I said, your last caller pretty much touched on what I was trying to get at for Stephen Hill, because like I said, I'm trying to keep faith in Stephen Hill. You know, I'm on Twitter, and people are like constantly, you know, throwing him under the bus. And, you know, I'm really hoping that, you know what I'm saying, he will develop. With Eric Decker there, that should be a good influence on him. Now, as far as our corner situation, it's unfortunate that, you know, McDougal went out because I really was heavy on him. Yeah. And so, I mean, like I said, I'm pretty much how I'm feeling right now. I'm thinking maybe we should wait until rosters are being shaped and cut, and then I'm sure Izzet can probably look through and see who's who and who's available, which is going to be plenty of people. So I don't think – right, which is a smart thing to do. So us as Jet fans, we really shouldn't panic too much, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a difference between panicking, Keith, and there's a difference between reality. You know, the Jets this year have a very pass-heavy schedule. We knew what we were coming into. I mean, listen, again, I have no problem taking heat talking cornerbacks, talking about, you know, people calling, you know, they stayed away from mediocre corners and whatever. But now, I mean, it's coming to a head this week. It's coming to a head. Think about this, Keith. It's already coming to a head, this problem. It's already becoming a massive, massive problem for the Jets, and we've only played one preseason game. I mean, I'm not the type of guy to say I told you so, but, I mean, we're sitting here week two of the preseason talking about having Keechee Patterson and Kyle Wilson, who are going to be our starting cornerbacks going into next week and probably for the opening game. I mean, it's a disaster.
Yeah,
So
yeah, and it is. It totally is a disaster. Totally. Well, like I said, I totally agree that it is a disaster. But I think with the right moves, certain things can be uplifted because, truth be told, we were all looking at our defensive line anyway. That was going to be the unsung hero for our defense. We all agreed on that. It was just that secondary, the backfield, that was the biggest concern.
Yep. And
I mean, right or wrong.
And that's what they have to do. And you know what I'm thinking, too, Keith, is you hit right on our good friend Chris LaPresse, you know, sends out a tweet I believe it was yesterday or so, you know, saying that John Idzik is really going to start making his move once they could, because the rosters are so big. You know, you're looking at, you're going to go from 90-something people to 53 people on your roster. So some big names could potentially get cut. Some good guys that could fill in could get cut. We don't know. But the Jets are going to have to adjust this situation. They're going to have to bring in some help. They should have brought in help to avoid not having – the reason why we're sitting here panicking is because we had no depth at this position. When you have no depth at a position, that's when the problems are going to start happening, especially when you're looking at guys. Again, everybody loves to use the word injury-prone. That's what it is. You have to have depth with injury-prone guys. That's why the biggest job – why do you think the biggest job in the NFL for a backup quarterback and the best job was Michael Vick's backup during his entire career? Because the guy was so injury-prone, you knew he was going to get hurt at some point during the year. And it was like you were getting paid to be a starter. You know, you have to have depth in the NFL. And we went into this year, the Jets, you know, with no depth. And that's the problem. And there were guys out there. They didn't make the moves. Now they're paying the price. And I'm telling you, the price is going to be a draft pick, a high draft pick, and they could have avoided trading a draft pick if they would have went out and added depth and added a big player. They didn't do it.
Very good point. Very good point. I totally agree. I mean, we came into the season with a lot of questions. So, you know, I mean, I absolutely agree. But I think, like I said, with the rosters and everybody soon is going to start shaping up their rosters and making cuts, I believe the market is going to open up, you know, because, like you said, Chris Lopresky, I was talking to him also on Twitter. We were tweeting back and forth. And he pretty much was telling me the same thing. You know, we should pretty much make, because I was panicking myself when I heard about how Milner went down. And, you know, how McDougal went down, I was like, oh, man, wow, what the heck, man. We just, for one preseason game, and everybody's already falling apart. You know, but it's best to just wait
and
see what happens.
Joe made a good point, too. Joe made a great point, too. One thing that you're falling back on, and again, I'm a very positive Jets fan. I love to look at the positive in this team. And the one big positive is you got a guy like Rex Ryan who can move people around, who can fix, you know, who can go through the motions and kind of readjust on defense. So, I mean, you have to look at that. That's your only positive to take from this is, you know, maybe he can take an Antonio Allen, who we see has some skills in the secondary, and make him a good cornerback in the booth. Who knows? Again, you're replacing a question mark with a question mark. So who knows?
That's true, but, you know, like Rex is a defensive guru. He knows his defense. There was times, remember, when Revis went out and we got a replacement, and he fared pretty well. Just like with Cromartie, when he went out, we got a player, and he fared pretty well. So we'll see what happens. But I'm definitely looking forward to it, to at least the season to get better. And if we can get some good, valuable players in free agency or whatever that's on the market, we jump on them, get them fast, instead of procrastinating like we did pretty much earlier.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I just thought that that was, you know, again, these guys are comfortable with the guys ahead. But, Keith, I appreciate the call, and I definitely appreciate the Robin Williams impersonation. heavy hearts out there for what happened over the past 24 hours.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, because oppression is real, real serious. It's a real issue, and, you know, because in society we need to come together and find ways to support each other a little bit better than what we've been recently doing. So, but all right, Jet Nation Radio, take it easy.
All right, thanks, Keith.
All right, go Jets.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a very upbeat Keith from Pittsburgh, a regular for the show. And let's just keep the phone lines going. Everybody wants to talk corners. But we now bring in Courtney Arillo, who is the host of This Week in Jet Nation. You can check out her weekly show on our YouTube channel. Courtney, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Fantastic.
Doing good. Doing good.
Joe didn't think I was calling anymore because he's on the show, but I just proved him wrong. So.
Yeah, I was worried for a little bit there. The first few weeks, he didn't call in. I wonder if it was me or something. But what do you got for us this week, Courtney?
You know, I'm in Miami. I'm hanging out with Mike Tannenbaum. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I am in Miami, but I'm not hanging out with Mike Tannenbaum.
Partying it up in Miami, huh?
Yeah, I'm in Miami. Taking a little break, you know. You guys are really quiet. You, like, all talked out or something?
No, there's nothing to be bummed out about.
No, no.
What's going on in our forum?
Nothing. I'm not gonna constantly talk about the cornerback situation. You know, I do like what's going on with Antonio Allen. I'm pretty excited because of, you know, I liked him ever since he became a Jet, and
Here we go.
What? I said, here we go. No. What? I'm just saying, one of those fans. What are those fans? I like what's going on, and I don't care what anyone has to say because I was mocked about it a lot. And hey, whatever. But I mean, has anyone ever thought about the whole situation with how these injuries are happening? Like between the new CBA, how no one has. Is allowed to touch anyone, and no one understands how was the hit on the field, and then you know when you take one step out on the field, and all of a sudden like there goes like a torn ACL. Is anyone realizing that's happening? I think it's getting like ridiculous now. And then I also for extending the games, and Roger Goodell expect these players to last this long. It makes no sense.
Right.
I think there's definitely a correlation between the lessening head injuries and then the more ACL tears, the more leg injuries, the more knees, everything like that. But I do agree with you. I like that Antonio at least trying out Antonio Allen. I don't know if he's going to be a pro ball corner anytime soon, but you never know unless you try. He's going to have a big test this week against A.J. Green. You know, if he can hold up against A.J. Green at least decently well, because A.J. Green is, in my opinion, a top five receiver, no doubt about it. If he can hold up, I think a lot of Jets fans are going to be a lot less worried. I don't think there's room for panic yet, as a lot of people are saying. I think there's room for a little bit of concern. If this is the first week and we're going in season with Ellis Wankster or Walls or Rosa Dowling or Allen starting on one of the sides, you know, I would understand, but people got to give it a little bit of time. They're smart people. If they have to trade for somebody, they're going to trade for somebody. Roster cuts, a lot of good players are cut at that time. You know, because a couple years ago, I was panicked about, you know, our right guard situation. We got Cologne. He worked out for a while. I was concerned about our safety. We got Landry. He's not great, but he's solid. So, you know, I don't think there's room for panic yet. I know there's room for concern, but I think we have to wait it out as Jets fans and see what happens.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried. I agree. I think it's a little too early.
You should be.
Thanks for that. I don't think anyone else should either. I think it's still a little too early in the season still. And, when I went to the first game, I think Michael Vick did very well. And given the situation, though, and I was talking to someone today who's very, very knowledgeable about football. And basically the first four or five games, we do need to score at least 25 points. That's all I'm saying. I'm not worried, but, if Rex is going to continue to be our coach, we do need to score at least 25 points. That's all I'm saying.
I'm telling you, if the Jets average 25 points a game, they might go 16-0.
What's that?
I said if the Jets average 25 or more points a game, they might go 16-0.
Well, I'm just talking, we had a really heavy conversation about the Jets in general, and that's just talking about Rex being a coach. Because all this stuff about blaming Rex, oh, now Rex isn't going to be a coach, and this is make or break here. Like, it's way too early for this stuff. Way too early, you know? Jets fans make all these early predictions. Like, they just jump the gun. It's bad enough our media is, like, ridiculous, you know? Come on. So, my take on it. So I like
the pressure
writers.
Is on for
I
those
guys.
I said the pressure is on for the general manager and the coach. It always is.
Yeah, I mean, it always is. It's never ending with the Jets. We have a lot of holes to fill, and, I mean, I feel like it's always going to be that way, you know? Maybe we'll be like the Mets. Maybe we have to wait until 2015.
Yeah, see, Courtney, I have a question for you. See, now, you said we have a lot of holes to fill. I want to know what you think our biggest issue besides corner is, because I don't think that we actually have a whole bunch of holes to fill other than the cornerback situation. So what is your opinion of our other holes that we have to fill?
I was concerned about safety, but I'm not concerned about safety that much anymore. So, I mean, I am, but not as much. Honestly, I'm still concerned about, I'm always concerned about something. I'm still concerned about our quarterback. Future.
Okay.
I'm thinking
future. I agree that we have to be concerned about our quarterback, but I do have to say going into the first game, me and Brandon were actually there, and I liked what I seen from Geno Smith. The only thing I didn't like from Geno Smith, and me and Brandon both saw it, was when he had his ankle grabbed and he tried to throw that pass to Tommy Bohannon on the sideline. That was about the only thing I didn't like. I think that he showed that he improved. He had more pocket awareness. He had more understanding of the offense. I think he looked more confident.
Rex
I think he had more control.
But Rex wants him to run, and he doesn't want to. So, I mean, not that he really has a choice, but, you know, he doesn't want to. He wants to be a pocket quarterback, but Rex wants him to run.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that. See, the thing I think is I don't think Geno Smith is a running quarterback. I think he is a quarterback who can run. And I think that he realized that at the end of the year that using his feet, you know, it's going to open up the defenses because they're going to have spies on him and things like that. I think that he realized that he's going to have to run sometimes for first downs. He did have that one nice read option play. I think that he definitely will run more this year, you know, especially I think Michael Vick is one of the best people to have for him, especially because he's very dedicated to staying into the pocket. He wants to be that Aaron Rodgers type of quarterback, but I think he's got to run a little bit more than Aaron Rodgers does. Based on the reason he has more speed, and I think we're going to rely on it. You know, if we have Geno Smith and Chris Johnson in the backfield, and people are there's no way that's not going to open up our passing game. You know, so I think that Geno has a good shot of really improving this year. I don't think he's going to be an All-Pro quarterback anytime soon, but I think all the Jets need is a solid, you know, middle-of-the-pack quarterback, because if we had a middle-of-the-pack quarterback in 2009, 2010, we could have been talking about a Super Bowl. So that's my opinion on Geno.
Well, what do you think about this whole Wildcat package? I still think we should stay away from it. I don't care if Michael Vick is in Tim Tebow. I still think we should stay away from it.
I think that there's a time and a place for it. I think that we have to figure it out a lot better than we did with the Tebow. You know, Tebow just took snaps and just ran right up the middle. There was no chance for an actual play there unless he broke like seven tackles. So I think there's a time and a place for it. I think that it's possible. I think that if you put Michael Vick, Bilal Powell, and Curley back there, they can all throw probably better than Tebow. I think Curley and Powell can probably both throw better than Tebow. I think that it would add new dimension to our offense. I don't know if I necessarily want to see it just because the whole Tebow thing getting called the circus, I couldn't deal with it. But I think if they know they have a way to run it effectively and, you know, not kill Geno's confidence or kill his game flow, then I think it could work.
Yeah.
What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I think the time and the place for the Wildcat is there. I think it's a waste. I just think it's... You know, if your quarterback is struggling, here's the Wildcat annoyed me a couple times, you know, when they tried to do it last year, when they tried to do it when Sanchez there, you know. When your quarterback is struggling, and we've seen the Jets have quarterbacks that, you know, they're getting these three and outs, and they can't move the ball at all, and you're really, really struggling to just gain yards. Then, you bring in the Wildcat, you see if you can spice things up, you see if you can catch somebody off guard. You give it a shot. You see if you can make a big play. There's no harm in it. But, you know, the one problem and the one thing that just drives me nuts with the Wildcat is when we're sitting here and we're watching Geno or when we would watch Sanchez, they finally get themselves in a rhythm. They're hitting their passes. They're moving the football. They'll get down
and
to the middle of the field.
That's when they
and what will happen?
It's when you use the Wildcat when they didn't need to use it.
Right. And you're taking your quarterback out of the game. You're delaying, you know, you're taking him off his rhythm. You're wasting a play in a sense. The Wildcat is good to use maybe once a game when you're feeling, you know, you're not moving the ball, you're struggling, and you need a spark. If your quarterback is in a groove and your quarterback's moving the ball, don't take him out of the game. The quarterbacks,
exactly.
Quarterbacks play well when they're in a groove and they're moving the ball and they're getting in a rhythm. You know, that's when your quarterback plays well. He's not going to do well when he hits five or six passes, and then you're taking him out of the game to bring in your backup quarterback to go run around for 3 yards. It's
stupid. Well, that was Sprano. Yeah, well, that was a classic Sprano.
That's my opinion on that. I think the Jets need to stay away from that unless, again, you see your offense where you cannot move the football whatsoever. That's we've seen it. We've seen the Jets' offense be in a position where, you know, you're getting consistent three and out. Whereas now if you move towards, you know, trying to get a best of big player in a Wildcat, I have no problem with that. I think it's a good idea. But let's not take our quarterback out of the game and throw off his rhythm when he's starting to put some pieces together to drive down. That's my opinion of that. Courtney, you are the host of This Week in Jet Nation on YouTube, so you guys are going to be rocking another video this week, right?
Not this week. It's going to be more weekly come football season, like September, which is soon. So, I'm on vacation.
There you go.
It will be weekly, yes.
All right, well, fantastic. And I want everybody to go check that out.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Have a good one.
Go back and enjoy your vacation.
Yes, thank you. And hopefully I'll see you this week at the Giants. Next week at the Giants game.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Have a good night.
No, thank you. That was Courtney Arillo from JetNation.com. She is the host of This Week in Jet Nation on YouTube. And, you know, she made some interesting points talking about that. You know, I think the Wildcat, again, just to kind of wrap it up, I think it's something the Jets need to use on a very, very rare – it's something that they need to use rarely. But we do have a caller – on the line. You know, with the call lines are lighting up tonight, Joe. And you know why they're lighting up? Because everybody wants to talk about what?
It's the cornerbacks again, isn't it?
There you go. Jeff Holding. Talk about trading for a cornerback. This is going to be good. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hello, man.
I'm good. Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about whether trading for a corner will be the right decision or not. And I don't believe that trading for a corner will be a right decision. I think that's a little rushed. I think if you look at the trade market, the only guy I've really heard about is Jonathan Joseph, and he's in his 30s, I believe. I don't think it's going to be a long-term solution. And I would sit down and wait and see what Rex does with the corners. And if you look at what's going to happen next year, I think there's a good possibility of them drafting another corner in the first round, as crazy as that seems, because if you look at the wide receiver free agent market next year, you've got guys, and granted, some of these guys aren't going to, you know, be unrestricted free agents, but you've got Wes Welker, Dez Bryant, Reggie Wayne, Demaryius Thomas, Macklin, Torrey Smith, and Randall Cobb. Those guys alone, you can get a really good quality number one receiver. And you think of, okay, well, what else do they have to do? They have to draft offense? Sure, but, I mean, if it works out with Geno, they don't need to draft cornerback. They drafted a tight end. They have, you know, three good tight ends, and their lineman situation isn't perfect, but, you know, it's decent enough, and they have really good halfbacks. So, you know, they need to draft defense next year in the round one. And if they really need to, you know, go ahead and draft corner, because the corner free agent market next year stinks. You got Tremond Williams, Antonio Cromartie, who we know they passed on. And then from there, it just goes downhill. So I really think trading for a corner is not the right option. Really, if you need to, sit and see what Rex does, and then maybe next year draft a corner.
Well, you know, Jeff, I don't think the Jets right now should go out and trade for a cornerback. The reason being that they're going to go if they do make a move to have to trade for a cornerback. It's all going to depend on Dee Milliner. You know, he's coming in now. He's injured. He's going to be out for, they're saying, at least the first game of the season. If Dee Milliner continues to, if say his, you know, especially when you're talking about an ankle, it could go either way. It could get worse, it could get better, or he could re-injure it. It's all going to depend on the health of Dee Milliner. You cannot go into this season without another guy, but you cannot go into the season with Dimitri Patterson as your number one cornerback. You can't. The Jets won't do it. They'll go and trade for somebody. They're going to have no choice but to go and trade for somebody. They're not going to play for next year because we're sitting here in preseason of week two. If we were in, you know, right before the trade deadline, the Jets are a middle-of-the-pack team, and, you know, we're saying Dee Milliner, Dexter McDougal goes out for the year, and Dee Milliner is out for, you know, three or four games. You know, you're going to say, hold off on trading for a cornerback. We got next year. We can't talk about free agents and draft picks for next year. We're sitting here at preseason week two. Everybody's getting ready for the season. This was an 8-8 team last year that improved their offense. Their quarterbacks in their second year has got more confidence. They have a great running game. They have a great defensive line. This is a playoff-caliber team. This is a team, if you're looking off last year, that overachieved at 8-8, that can get right back at it and be an 8-10 win team. In order to do that, we're not going to sit and talk about free agents and draft picks for next year. That's not the direction the Jets want to go in. You want to be a team that's going to say, how can we compete to get into the playoffs and make some noise this year? Because I think the Jets can really do that. They're talented. They have a lot of good player positions. So it's going to come down to this. If Dee Milliner is as hurt as they're saying he is, gets worse, then the Jets are going to go make a move because they're not going to watch Dimitri Patterson, Antonio Allen, and Kyle Wilson man the secondary at the cornerback position because that is even more of a disaster than what we had coming into this year. You know, they've already reached out to, I've heard that numerous reports they're reaching out to Asante Samuel. You know, there's another option. Again, this is a guy who's going to come in here and probably play for, in the NFL terms of money, nothing. It's a low-risk, high-reward. Health, the depth of your cornerback situation, you see what he can do. If he comes in and can't even make the team, you don't have any risk there. You get rid of him. That's what they should have been doing from the beginning, in my opinion. But to reiterate what I'm saying, I think you're right. We're not going to see them trade for somebody right now. It all depends on the health of Dee Milliner.
Yeah, if I believe he still hasn't had his MRI, so they still don't know if he has a high or low ankle sprain, and that's kind of like determine whether he'll be ready for the season opener or what week he'll be. Like you guys said, they don't really need him for week one against the Raiders. I mean, they're facing Matt Schaub, but then they go and face Aaron Rodgers and Megatron and the Lions and the Bears, and it gets bad fast. So, you know, we're going to find out if this team has a good defense and if they're a playoff team. And you know what? They do face hard teams. A lot of people saying they kind of have an unfair schedule. But you know what? If they truly are a playoff team, then they'll get enough wins throughout that stretch to make it into at least the wild card spot. So,
yeah, I think I really do. I think the Jets have the cap. I think the Jets have a roster that is caliber. You know, they have a playoff caliber roster. I just think it's a matter of you're looking at that secondary that really makes you nervous. And in order to win in this league, this is a passing league. And you have to be able to compete against these quarterbacks. And when you're facing Tom Brady twice a year, you're facing Megatron and the Lions who have a great passing offense, you're facing the Bears, you're facing Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you're facing Peyton Manning. You're facing Philip Rivers. You're facing the best of the best. And who are you going to try out on the field against those guys? Dimitri Patterson? Kyle Wilson?
Yeah.
You're going to move a safety to a cornerback position? I mean, you're going to get picked apart and embarrassed if you don't do something or unless the owner is at full strength.
Exactly. I think that if the Jets and John Izik and Rex Ryan think it's a big enough problem where it's going to hinder them enough where they wouldn't make it to the playoffs or – you know, they would lose an extra game or two because of it. I think they'll address it. I think that they're gonna wait until the roster cuts for Ansu to what's available.
Exactly.
You know, John Izik is gonna sit there. He's gonna let everything play out in front of him. You know, I think that a lot of Jets fans are panicked about Dimitri Patterson from the first game. And, yeah, I agree. I think that I didn't like what I seen, but you have to give him time. You know, he's a veteran. He had a couple injuries, or he's dealing with three leg injuries during the game. So I think you'll give him a little bit of time. A lot of Jets fans, you know, they say highlights. Everybody looks good in highlights. But I actually went and I watched tape on Dimitri Patterson, and when he's healthy, he's a solid corner. It's just a big question about his health. But like I said, I think that if there is a huge problem there, I think that they will address it. You know, if Walls doesn't step up, if Ellis Langster doesn't step up, if D. Miller comes back and he actually has a high ankle sprain instead of a low ankle sprain, which would put him out for a couple extra weeks, it should be a huge problem. When, like you guys said, we have Aaron Rodgers, the Bears, the Lions, the Chargers, the Patriots twice. We have a whole bunch of these teams. I think we'll address it if it's that big of a problem. I think that's one of our only issues on our team. And like you said, drafting a corner next year's draft, I think so another position that we actually have to look at and nobody's thinking about because we're loaded at it this year is running back. You got Chris Johnson, who has some wear in the tires. You got Chris Ivory, who's getting hurt. You have Powell, who's a free agent. So I think running back is actually a position that we're going to have to address maybe not next year, but the year after that.
Jeff, I want to thank you for the call, my man, and we'll see how it plays out.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. That was Jeff talking about trading cornerbacks. And Joe, again, it was a fire run of calls there, and I want to thank everybody out there. First off, got about 2 minutes left in the show here. I want to thank everybody for all the callers. I want to thank you for putting up with our technical difficulties tonight. This is a big, you know, big show for us. This is a big situation. Everybody loves talking about it on Twitter. Everybody loves talking about the Jets and the cornerback situation. If you want to sound off and you want to keep talking about John Mizik and the cornerback situation, check out JetNation.com. Check out the forums. It's a great place to connect with other Jet fans, talk football, talk corners, talk offense, talk defense. Sound off on the first preseason game and get ready for the next preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Let your voice be heard on JetNation.com. Check out the forums and start talking football because it doesn't end with us here on Jet Nation Radio. It goes all the way to the forums and on JetNation.com. And, Joe, we were at the first preseason game. Real quick, what was the things you let's end this show with a positive upbeat. What was the things that you liked from the first preseason game? Go ahead.
I liked how Decker looked. I think that he ran nice, crisp routes. I think that he caught the ball well. Like I said before, I think I liked how Geno took control of the offense. Some guys who people aren't talking well, they talk about a little bit, but I think Vontaze Miles looked pretty good. Linebacker A.J. Edwards looked good. Unfortunately, D. Miller went down, but I think that he played very well other than that dropped pick, which I think maybe just getting a little bit of rust off the tires. I think overall our offense looked a little bit, even though we didn't score with Geno, and I think we look a little bit better than I thought we were going to look for the first game, you know. That's about it. I'm impressed with the offense. I think that we're going to move ahead. I think there's going to be some growing pains, you know, with Geno getting a chemistry with Amaro and guys like Decker and Chris Johnson. But overall, I like what I've seen from the offense and throw some else out there, too. I also like what I've seen from the defensive line. I think that we basically dominated the defensive line and that, the trench wars.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I did like, and I talked about it going into the preseason game, even though Geno Smith did not look, you know, he wasn't flashy, he didn't throw a touchdown bomb, I thought Geno Smith came out, the first game of the year, all eyes are on him. He played an efficient efficient couple of series. He made some good passes, a false start that took away a nice play to Eric Decker. You saw them, you know, those two hook up on a couple of plays. You saw just enough to see that Geno Smith improved from his first preseason game last year, and that's the confidence booster for the Jets. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show tonight. I want to thank Jerry behind the scenes taking all calls. I want to thank everybody for putting up with our technical difficulties. We will be back in action next week. We'll be talking about preseason game number 2, and hopefully we have some good things and we're not talking about injuries. We will see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.